next on the 5 o'clock report.
No, not even no.
How did so many people receive funding when they were ineligible?
When there was intelligence dating back 3 weeks before that told them something dangerous was going to happen on that day.
We all just broke down and started crying.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. Today, the CDC says masks may be needed again indoors, including schools, this fall. Stephen Portnoy's in Washington.
The new guidance calls for indoor masking by the vaccinated in areas where COVID spread is deemed substantial or high. The CDC recommends masks for all teachers, students, staff, and visitors at schools nationwide. Here in Washington, where COVID cases are quickly rising, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters it's all based on the spread of the Delta variant.
We will be prepared to wear masks again if required, if the guidance is leading to that, as would the president.
A House Select Committee is investigating what happened allowing rioters to breach the Capitol on January 6th.
They were wearing military-style clothing, Kevlar vests, Kevlar helmets. Many of them had gas masks, shields, which they had taken away from law enforcement officers.
Metro D.C. police officers Michael Fanone and Daniel Hodges among the four officers giving testimony today.
Another officer, after being completely soaked with OC spray, was shocked several times by a cattle prod one of the terrorists brought with them.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger is calling out his fellow Republicans for spreading conspiracy theories about the January 6th attack.
It's time to stop the outrage and the conspiracies that fuel the violence and division in this country, and most importantly, we need to reject those that promote it.
Congressman Jim Banks, who was kicked off the special committee by Nancy Pelosi, tells Fox News.
I would have asked Officer Dunn to unpack that statement. Why were they not prepared for January 6th when there was intelligence dating back 3 weeks before that told them something dangerous was going to happen on that day?
Committee Chairman Benny Thompson in Mississippi.
We will follow the facts.
Thompson notes the panel could come back before the end of Congress's August recess. It seems bipartisan Senate negotiations on infrastructure are moving forward. Press Secretary Jen Psaki says things seem to be going in a positive direction on a multi-billion dollar infrastructure upgrade, yet she didn't put a time frame on reaching a tentative deal. PayPal and the Anti-Defamation League are teaming up to determine how extremists and hate groups raise money. The ADL says the research will dig into how those movements use financial platforms to fund their activities. PayPal and the ADL say they'll share their findings with the financial industry, policymakers, and law enforcement. And still to come this Tuesday, streamlining rent relief in New York, cleaning up after an explosion in Pennsylvania, and helping others following tragedy.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley with our Family Life forecast. Thunderstorm activity, which has been rather strong in many locations through the afternoon, will be winding down and coming to an end as we head through this evening. And overnight, the clouds will slowly break. Some fog may develop, especially in areas where there was a good deal of rain. Lower humidity slowly making its way into the region for tomorrow. Should end up being a fairly nice day after morning fog, a good deal of sunshine, and pleasant to be outdoors. Fairly quiet tomorrow night. Then another active day on Thursday as another disturbance approaches from the west, leading to another round of showers and thundershowers coming across the area through the day. Behind that feature, we'll see cooler conditions as we wrap up the week on Friday.
Thank you, Ken. Efforts are now underway in New York to disentangle access to rent relief in the Empire State. CBS's Steve Burns.
The applications for rent relief went live on June 1st. But as of mid-July, New York State had handed nothing out.
The rent relief funding will go out. It'll go out by August 31st.
Governor Cuomo says staffing is being beefed up and the application process is getting streamlined. He insists they needed to check for fraud and abuse first.
Otherwise, same person will ask me a question in 3 weeks. How did so many people receive funding when they were ineligible? Why didn't you check?
Have you seen any evidence that there is fraud and abuse happening here?
No. Not even, no.
Ellen Davidson at the Legal Aid Society says the state wasn't even opening applications until recently.
I think instead there have been challenges such as the fact that the website opened and immediately it broke.
New York State's ban on evictions is set to be lifted at the end of August.
Several injuries to report after a home explosion in Tyrone, Pennsylvania. That's about 15 miles north of Altoona. Dozens of people told to evacuate.
This could have been a lot worse. We're very fortunate. We got to credit the residents. A lot of them evacuated without any problems, and that's what we need in these situations.
Mark Taylor is in charge of emergency management for Blair County. A gas leak caused that home explosion that destroyed one building and damaged two others. President Biden has officially nominated Trina Ross to become next U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York. Ross, who has 23 years of experience as a prosecutor, was endorsed for the position by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. If confirmed, Ross could become the first African-American woman to serve this job and would be responsible for overseeing federal civil and criminal cases in 17 counties. Next at 5, after losing his son to a drug overdose 2 years ago, Bill Madison from Fredonia, New York, is now helping other families cope with the drug crisis.
COPE stands for what?
Children of Opioid Parents and Empowerment. COPE was started. I lost my son to an opioid overdose about 2.5 years ago. And my pastor, he made a comment. He said, you're going to find something good to come out of this. Probably 8 months later, something hit me. Like, why don't I do something to help these kids? Because at my karate studio that I own, I have students that have lost a parent due to drugs and alcohol. So that is really what started is watching my own grandchildren live without their daddy.
So what do you do for these kids? Now, this organization exists to help kids who've lost parents to overdoses, whether it be drugs, alcohol. What programs do you offer, Bill?
Our mission is mainly to bring awareness to this overwhelming fact about the drugs to the children / family. The unique thing about COPE is most places reach out to the adults and the drug addicts. I'm looking at the residuals called the children. They can go to like a water park, a nature hike, or whatever they want to do. Just go try to have some fun and take their mind off a little bit. Mm. At our expense, we'll send them to a good youth counselor. You can go to any kind of a sport, karate, boxing, anything with a physical outlet. And last but not least, I want to encourage them to go to a children's ministry.
And I know COVID has made this epidemic of drug overdoses worse. People can't connect with other people. And if you have an addiction problem, that is a problem. What's it going to take to make this better?
I'm a clean heroin addict. I've been clean almost 40 years. I've been in and out of the system. I'm 56. So at 16, that actually changed my life when I got caught. And I was a major drug addict. I don't say this arrogantly, but I get a lot of responses from people of how I've helped change their life. Mm-hmm. So I think being the person that was in their shoes, I think I can relate in a different way.
You're also a man of faith, Bill. And what role does that play in what you do?
It plays 100% of it because, let's face it, to all those people that have lost a child, it's so different than losing a parent or a sibling. It never stops. The pain never goes away. A lot of these children have no clue who God is. They have no clue. Just to hear that he's going to come, he's here for you just because you're going through a bad path. I think the encouragement of not only words, but actions are going to help these children understand that, number one, it's not their fault. And number two, this is not the path you need. That's my main goal.
Well, I've lost a father. I've lost a brother. I've lost a sister. But I've never lost a child. And I cannot begin to imagine the grief you must feel with the loss of your son. Tell us about Justin. What was he like?
Justin, you know, I'm laughing because I'm at that stage where it's all smiles. Yes, he was a drug addict. And when he was on his drugs, I didn't want him around me. But that wasn't every day. This was a kid that was always smiling and happy. You know, I just smile when I hear about him because when he died, I heard so many positive stories about what he did. Things that you don't hear until somebody passes. They're like, oh, by the way, he was a great person. It doesn't neglect it that he had problems, but that did not make a drug addict a bad person.
Can you talk about the day that he died?
I was on my way out of town and I got a phone call. I got to his house and I saw the ambulance. I saw a coroner and I saw police officers who I was friends with, and they refused to let me in the house. And I just didn't want to believe it. And I was yelling and saying, I'm going in the house. The hardest thing is to watch your child on a living room floor to look at a lifeless body, but he was smiling. And of course, I collapsed and fell down and hugged him and, you know, the foolish thing of trying to wake him up. But to sit there and realize that smile, his pain's gone.
Yeah.
his pain threatened. Do I really believe he's in heaven? You know, we don't know until we get there, but he did claim Jesus as a savior just prior to this.
What's your message right now to the person who's listening, who's struggling to come clean?
You know what? To do what I did and do even what my son did the night before he died is talk to somebody. There is hope.
That's Bill Madison from Fredonia, New York, speaking with Family Life's Bill Price. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features by visiting familylife.org and clicking on the podcast link under the radio tab. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. It's a down day on Wall Street. Stocks fell as investors waited for some big tech names to report quarterly earnings after the market closed. One of them was Google parent Alphabet, but it fell about 2% in today's session. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 84 points, the S&P lost 20, and the NASDAQ dropped 180 points. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more, online at ambassadoradvisors.com. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
It's wise to learn from your mistakes, even wiser to learn from someone else's. Hi, I'm Rob West with your MoneyWise Minute. Here are some financial mistakes others often make. First is thinking you can get by without health coverage. If you think it's too expensive, try not having it with a serious medical condition. Check out Christian Healthcare Ministries, a health cost-sharing alternative worth exploring. Day trading is another mistake. 4 out of 5 day traders quit after a year with an average loss of 36%. Instead, invest for the long haul. Finally, there's buying too much house. Your total housing expenses shouldn't exceed 25% of your take-home pay. Any more, and you'll have trouble getting the rest of your budget to work. So those are 3 financial blunders that others make. Now you don't have to. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
Up next, Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Sonny Delfiat.
Thank you, Tracy. Of course, the big news, Team USA Simone Biles pulled from the women's team gymnastics final, but was it an injury?
No injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured, so I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute.
USA Silver, the Russian Olympic Committee grabbing gold. The U.S. women's basketball team off to a winning start, beating Nigeria 81-72 to begin their stay in Tokyo. The men's team plays Iran this morning at 12:40. The U.S. women's soccer team played Australia to a scoreless draw today. The U.S. will meet the Netherlands in the knockout stage on Friday. Here in the States, huge college news. Oklahoma and Texas have formally notified the SEC they're seeking an invitation for membership beginning July 1st, 2025, because that's when the current Big 12 media rights deal expires. But that doesn't guarantee they won't find a way to leave before then. If it happens earlier, each university would have to pay a penalty of at least $75 to $80 million to break that agreement or hope the Big 12 dissolves before the grant of rights contract expires. Wow. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiat.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley with our Family Life forecast. Thunderstorm activity, which has been rather strong in many locations through the afternoon, will be winding down and coming to an end as we head through this evening. And overnight, the clouds will slowly break. Some fog may develop, especially in areas where there was a good deal of rain. Lower humidity slowly making its way into the region for tomorrow. Should end up being a fairly nice day after morning fog, a good deal of sunshine, and pleasant to be outdoors. Fairly quiet tomorrow night. Then another active day on Thursday as another disturbance approaches from the west, leading to another round of showers and thundershowers coming across the area through the day. Behind that feature, we'll see cooler conditions as we wrap up the week on Friday.
Thank you, Ken. Finally at 5, what a season. The undefeated Mifflinburg Little League softball team made it all the way to Connecticut and beat the Rhode Island team. Team manager Heath Stewart tells WNEP that's when league officials said a player tested positive for COVID and the team was out of the competition.
Just, I looked at my other coach and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this because they work so hard.
Mifflinburg catcher Chloe Showalter.
Vicky came into the room and said that we had to pack up our stuff because there was a positive case, and we all just broke down and started crying. It was so hard.
Shortstop Anna Pachuki tells News 16.
Just thinking that we did win Pennsylvania, but
we wanted to go even further because we worked so hard for it.
Team leaders, players, and family members all keeping an eye on possible symptoms. Kudos to the undefeated Mifflinburg Little League softball team. It's a hard lesson, but you had a great season. That's the world we live in this 27th of July. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
The 5 O'Clock Report was brought to you in part by the House Connect family and Crickler Vending, with offices in Lancaster, Horseheads, and Rochester, New York. They provide vending services with food options made daily for offices and break rooms. The phone number.